8 o'clock. Time to start the show.
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. Also streaming on the web at PCRadioShow.org.
And today is May the 16th, 2007.
And this is the Personal Computer Show.
Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. This is Hank Key, and I'm the anchor point in the studio. And joining me in the studio is Michael Horowitz, our webmaster, Stevie Beebe, our inimitable engineer. And on remote, we will have or already have Joe King on standby.
And how are you, Hank?
How you doing, Joe? And we have Alfred Poor in Percy.
Yes, good evening.
How are you guys?
You know, we have a triangle now.
Triangle?
Yeah, from me to Alfred to you.
Oh, you scared me.
All gets lost in the middle of the triangle, just like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, well, you scared when you say triangle. I'm thinking of Michael, Stevie, and myself, and I said, what kind of triangle is this?
I was thinking of Everest to Tinker to Chance.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, I remember that combination.
What was that, the 1920s?
It's somewhere about then. Tonight we are continuing with our membership drive, and we have, I think before we do that, let's first give out the phone number. It's 212-209-2950. We have four premiums, and it dawned on me last week that many people are thinking it's the same old premium, and they're not. Nothing same old about the gold card, right, Joe, because your question is always new, always intriguing to us. And, Joe, you want to mention a little more about the, or tell us a little more about the gold card?
Well, we call it the gold card, Hank. It's a class of membership in WBAI, which entitles all the people who use it to one full year of unlimited personal tech support for any software or hardware problems they're having on their personal computer, that they can ask the question by email and get a response by email, although on rare occasion we do use the telephone. If Alfred or I or you or Michael or Stevie don't have the answer to the question, why, we go out and find out the answers from the source. We'll go to the manufacturers of the hardware or the publishers of the software and represent our listeners and get them some help where they need it.
And the premium donation that we are requesting for this gold card support is $150.
And that's $150 once a year for unlimited questions and answers during the course of that year.
It's only for personal use. In other words, it's not for we're not going to be out there supporting a corporation or a commercial venture. This is for personal computing. And then we have three CDs, and it dawned on me last week that these three CDs, it sound like something they've heard of. In many ways it is, but in many ways it's not. And so let me go through some of the, very quickly.
It's the latest release, in other words.
Yeah. Like, we have our toolkit, and I went through my toolkit that I assembled. I would say that half the stuff is from the January one. And
explain the meaning of the word toolkit. This is a collection of free software.
Free software, not demoware, not trialware, not a beggarware in the sense that, you know, in order to use it, you know, like you get 30 seconds of a clip, and then if you want the rest of the, you know, the rest of the song, you're going to have to pay for it. There's almost 70 programs on this toolkit, and about half of them are a carryover from January because they are good stuff. But then I looked at the other stuff. Wow, we got good stuff in there because I've been listening to, and I've been reading all the email that's been coming in of people asking questions. And Joe and Alfred, you know what's one of the common questions we get, and not necessarily on the air, but people would say, my hard drive, I've lost the, I can't get to it, or I have files, I deleted it by accident, they're not in the recycle bin.
All too familiar.
How do I get it out? And, of course, our quick answer is, have you backed up? But, you know, some of them are really desperate. I've actually identified 3-4 programs that does exactly that. Now, why 3-4 programs? Some do a very good job of reconstructing the allocated space. In other words, if it looks like you zapped a drive and it's like there's nothing on there, it will recreate what the partition was if the partition is still credible to be recreated. And then there are other programs that will actually pick up the drive, the files on there, so long as they have not been overwritten. Now, one of the things I want to caution everyone is that if you happen to have a hard drive that you want to recover, don't write on it. Don't even try to boot on it, isolate it, so that...
in other words, don't install the software you're recommending.
Seriously,
that on a different hard drive.
Right. Treat it on a different hard drive, because anytime you try to put something on it, you're going to destroy what may have been still intact. And then, of course, the other one, the photo rec I talk about, will also restore lost pictures on your flash chip. So that was one of the questions that people came up with. And then another one, Michael says, what is all this stuff here? I can't believe this. I see all these different formats. Well, people are asking questions like, I happen to have this media format, and I want to translate it to another media format. And sometimes I find, like, you know, Joe was talking about, you know, Tinker's Ever's a Chance? Well, sometimes you can't go directly from one to the other, but I found that there are a couple of programs. You convert one to one format, and the other one will convert to the other format, and it's all there. By the way, I try to convert MIDI into karaoke format.
Wait a minute. What is karaoke format?
It's a CDG. Right, Alfred?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was scared by a lounge. Actually, my mother was scared by a lounge singer when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I've just managed to, you know, I have this irrational fear of karaoke ever since.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what MIDI format is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, MIDI format is a digital instrument format, and there's no voice on it. But how do you get that music converted? Well, I didn't find the conversion format I want, but I found that through more than one program, I can convert it to the format I want. So we have these programs on there.
What, there's, what, 3 different audio conversion programs?
Well...
And actually, you had an audio recording program, too.
Yes, and there's also an iPod, a video.
Oh, right, one that creates video compatible with an iPod.
Yeah, Joe, you got the list, right, on the iPod?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll try and locate that.
All right. What it is...
The list of software is so long.
Yeah, it's huge. It is huge. And unfortunately, I get... Oh, it's called Jodix. Jodix. It's free. It's an iPod video converter. Okay? It will enable you to convert popular video formats to the iPod video. In other words, it will convert AVI, MPEG, WMV, RM, RMVB, DIVX, and so on and so on.
Just putting it back into English, what it lets you do is take any of these video formats that you can download from the Internet and move it over to your video iPod.
And you can watch your iPod's video while you're driving, right?
Absolutely.
I'm only kidding about that.
Now, folks, if you are watching it while you're driving, I don't want you to lose track of the fact that you're also on the telephone at that point and you're doing a keyboarding of a text message. So I really want to see this multitasking.
Yeah. And then we also have the different formats that's called like Jet Audio Basic Version, okay, that will convert your WAV file, MP3 file, OGG, WMA, AVI, and all that into similar other formats.
And that's the one that also records?
Yes, it also records, too. So there's a whole bunch of programs like that. And then there's one I do want to mention because...
Wait a minute, Hank. While you're on those audio, I noticed you didn't mention... You're saying just convert. You don't have the ability to edit any of these things and clean out the...
No. The Audacity is still there.
Audacity is the one that I use. It's kind of easy to use.
Okay. Now, let me tell you about the one that I'm so excited about because I actually did it at the station. It's called, where the heck is it? I had it here.
Well, you know, while we're talking about these, Hank, the folks can call in on 212-209-2950, and they can pledge. Are we still running that buy two, get the third one free?
Yes, yes.
So they can call in and they can pledge $150 and get all three of these CDs that we're now talking about.
Or one CD is $75?
Yeah, one CD is $75.
I recommend you get all three because let me just briefly go over one of the other ones is called Mocha 5.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and that's the
this
one.
This is going to be a big subject. Next week, the week after, we're going to spend
tell you
a lot
what
of time
it is.
Talking about this.
You know, like one of the other CD is portable apps. In other words, be able to take applications, put it on a pen drive, go from machine to machine without installing it and running it. That's an application, but would you like to do that with an operating system? And they
wait a minute. What do you mean with an operating system?
Well, Mocha 5 is it will take operating systems that it will run operating systems on a pen drive that you can carry around from machine to machine. It's a portable
virtual machine software.
Correct.
You're saying that I can set up a virtual machine on a little thumb drive.
Assuming you have a big enough thumb drive.
Let's say I have a 2-gig thumb drive.
Okay.
Can I set up Windows XP on it?
Okay. Now, let me tell you something, okay? They have what is called live PCs that you can download for it. They call them live PC engines. And they've identified what is free. Free that's available that you can download is PC DOS, what's it, 6.22, whatever that version is. I'm sorry, MS-DOS they call it.
Uh-huh.
They have the Beta 2 version of Vista that you can download, and you can run Vista on the pen drive. They have Ubuntu. In other words, they have a whole bunch of operating systems
and
available.
And these are pre-installed operating systems.
Pre-installed.
This is not like an ISO you have to download and burn and then install
Mocha
it.
5, M-O-K-A 5. It's by the way...
And which disk is this on?
It is on the...
Toolkit.
It's on the toolkit, I believe, yes. It's on the toolkit, yes. It's on the toolkit, okay?
Okay.
Now, the reason why it's on the toolkit and not on the portable apps one is because I had no more room on the portable apps because it's loaded, and I have no more room on the toolkit because that's loaded. In other words, these things are...
I guess I have an old table of contents here because I can't find it.
Yes, you have an old one, and I sent you the new one. But Mocha 5 is really, you know, I'm so excited by it.
It sounds too good to be true.
What would you use it for, Michael?
I would use it for absolutely everything.
Wait a minute. For brushing your teeth, combing your hair. What would you use it for?
I'd have it for lunch and dinner. Yeah, you install Windows XP on it and... copy that to a hard drive for better performance, and when you're traveling, put it on a thumb drive and have your operating system and your applications.
Now,
it's too good to be true. I can't wait to play with it.
212-209-2950.
And are a lot of people calling in right now, Hank?
Well, you know what? I guess it's like every fundraiser, we have to beg, they have to get the attention.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things I want to talk about with you tonight. But I don't want to talk with you about it until some people call in and show that they're listening to us and that they're interested in supporting WBAI.
Now, the Personal Computer Show has been on for 23 years. We pick on, you know...
Non-stop sometimes, I think.
Yeah, the thing is, we are... We're not afraid to give the Bronx cheer to where we think it belongs.
Oh, we do that all too often, I think.
And
that's non-commercial radio. Otherwise, we couldn't do it.
And you know what? We actually have a pioneer amongst us, and that's Michael. Okay, he basically kind of turned thumbs down on a company because he didn't like the service, and we kind of always tease him on saying, "Michael, your first name is what? Michael." And who's the founder of Dell? Michael Dell, right?
And that's why he's against it.
No, that's not why he's against it, because he honestly feels the service can be better. Well, today, there was some breaking news from the Attorney General Office of New York State.
Wait a minute. You're saying that Mario Cuomo?
No. Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, Andrew Cuomo
has filed a lawsuit against Dell and Dell Financial Services, which is affiliated with Citibank, okay? And they filed a lawsuit in Albany County Supreme Court, And they're saying that Dell is basically failing to live up to their offering.
Oh, no, they're going much further and much stronger than that.
There's two issues. There's a computer issue and a financial issue.
Right. And the financial issue, I was not really that well aware of. But the computer issue, I was, because someone called me up and said, I need help, and she's going through all this. And I says, well, when did you get the machine? 2 weeks ago. I said, why didn't you call Dell for help? I mean, it should be covered under warranty within 30 days, you know? And it turns out she has on-site maintenance, but she was made to go through almost a month of taking a machine apart, doing this test, doing that test. You know what? I said to myself, what does on-site maintenance really mean?
Well, in this case, what Cuomo is suing Dell for is false advertising.
You shouldn't have to open your box,
right? Failure to provide the service bought, and deceptive business practices. Those are three pretty heavy charges.
Yep.
Now,
I had a person call me, Hank, with a similar story, and I said, now get them back on the phone, and when they say to you, open up the box, you say, how do you open it? And they say, take a screwdriver. You say, what's a screwdriver? And you'll get your on-site service.
Well, the other thing I had not realized was that they offer in their advertising, 0%, no interest, no payment, you know, in their promotion.
Financing.
Yeah, if you qualify for their credit. However, people with very, very good credits, many of them don't even get it. And
well, they cited an incident of someone who was told that he qualified for this no interest financing.
Sometimes exceeding 20%.
And then it turned out he didn't qualify. They didn't tell him he didn't qualify, right? And he ended up paying 29% interest.
That's a
which I think Tony Soprano would be jealous of.
That was 29%. A classic of the bait and switch.
Well, so now I bring this up only because I know many years ago, I don't want to say I had a beef, but I had very strong statements about IBM. Michael has voiced his very strong statements about Dell. We're not afraid to say the unthinkable. We're not afraid to say, hey, we got a bronze chair for someone. Now, for us to continue to provide that information and that service to our listening audience, we need your support. And you know, to entice you to sign up, to make a donation to WBAI, 212-209-2950. We have three CDs. We call one a virtual PC. I'm sorry, a virtual machine CD. Where we have, and Michael will go through it, where we have the latest version from Microsoft, Virtual PC 2007. We also have a converter program that Michael is very excited about. And then on the toolkit, half of it's new. We got that Mocha 5 on it. We got the file recovery programs on it. We have file conversion programs on it. And then on the other one, which is our portable apps, that's really brand new. We have a whole bunch of applications where all you got to do is just put your pen drive in, you run it, and then when you want to walk away, you know, just pull it out. You leave no trace of it.
It does not put anything onto the hard drive, so anything that you do is on that little pen drive.
But portable applications are not restricted to running on a pen drive. If you want to run them off a hard drive,
right,
you can.
Right. And although there is a website called portableapps.com, Joe and I found actually other programs that will also run very well.
Yeah, we've put one onto the CD that we found that we think you might like, which lets you turn any of your other programs that meet certain specifications into a portable app. As long as it's not using a shared DLL and it provides its own DLLs, you can create a portable app out of your program.
Well,
this UPX is what the program
is
called.
And we also found a program where if you want to do an audit, let's say you have a whole bunch of machines in the shop and you want to do a quick audit, you don't want to install some software, you don't want to say, I got to load a diskette. Hey, just go in there, pop this pen drive in, run this program called SIW. We've got a whole slew full of information which tells you the BIOS state, what patches
right.
you have.
Right, Hank said if you go into a shop and you have this, but how about when you go visit your brother-in-law and he says something is wrong with his computer, and you have to do an audit of what's in that computer, find out all the software, what the passwords are, what the serial numbers are. this will help you do it.
Did you say brother or brother-in-law?
Brother-in-law.
Well, okay.
Some of us have those, Hank.
I have...
I didn't want to say which of us has those. Some of us have those.
I have... I have three surviving brother-in-laws, and I guess...
But they never ask you to help out with their computers.
Let's go on with the next subject.
Okay.
Hey, seriously, we need your help.
212-209-2950.
And each of these CDs are $75 donation. The gold card is $150. If you want all three CDs, it's $150. It's a good deal. And by the way, you want to download it? You can go find the stuff. And you can, by the way, Joe asked me, when did I start on this? I started on this about 3-4 weeks ago, and I finished it only just a couple of days ago. So you can see.
Did you finally finish the table of contents?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. By the way, the downloading, and then I, you know what? Some of these programs, they have, it's promising until you run it. And then after you run it, you say, I'm not going to put, you know, I wouldn't put my stamp of approval on it.
You know, Hank, last week we were on, and two of our listeners later wrote to me, and they said, we really couldn't decide which of the premiums to pledge for. So we just gave a $300 pledge and said, send us everything you got. And that's what we'll do. Make a $300 pledge and everything we got.
212-209-2950.
Hank, just let me quickly follow up on the story about Dell and the Attorney General. There's a very simple website that the Attorney General set up if you want to read the complaint or if you want to file your own complaint. And I'm sure there are many unhappy Dell listeners listening to the show. Dell owners, excuse me. The website is NYAG, for New York Attorney General, Dell.com.
That's
all one word. NYAGDELL.
You will have that on our website, Michael?
Yes, I will.
Which is?
PCRadioshow.org.
Right. By the way, we are consumer-oriented. We are... We really try to identify things of interest, things that you should be concerned with. There was a great story that came out. A 17-year-old high school student, and he may be a high school student, 17 years old, but his father had access to the Cardiovascular Institute at Michigan State University, and he worked with the doctors there, and he came up with some results, and he actually made a presentation at the Heart Rhythm Society annual meeting in Denver recently. And what this 17-year-old student did was he tested 100 patients whose mean age was 77. They all had pacemakers. He found that the iPod, when held about 2 inches from the patient's chest, just for 5 to 10 seconds, it will interfere with the pacemaker. And
Let's get the whole story.
Wait, let me finish. Let me finish.
No, wait, Hank. Let me finish. Let Alfred come in.
Let me just ask one question.
Yes.
And how many of those ear interferences were life threatening or even caused a serious problem?
I was just going to say.
Two.
No. I was going to say the following. Okay.
All right.
Is that you can't draw the conclusion that. That most pacemaker patients are iPod users. I would suspect they're not, okay? And remember, the mean age was 77. And what it has done is that it caused misdiagnosis.
Right. It caused the pacemaker to misunderstand what the heart rhythm was.
So,
but only in two cases out of, I don't remember how many subjects it was.
100.
Okay.
That's 2%.
It's 2%, which is significant, but still, it's not the, oh, my God,
I didn't say that.
I didn't read the story. Which model iPod was he testing?
I'm sure it wasn't the Nano. I don't know which one he was testing.
Well, that's very important because the video iPod does have a certain electromagnetic radiation, and the hard disk has a different one from the Nano, which has no hard disk. I mean, this is not a story yet. I got to know more facts.
Good. You know what? At least this will say, let's get more facts, but at least we're not ignoring it.
Now, why didn't I see this in the Times or hear it on Channel 4 or Channel 5? Well, Channel 5, I know why I didn't hear it. They don't cover the news. But what about Channel 4?
iPods are for the younger generation. What, are you kidding?
Well, what about
you? No, not at all. They're not.
They're not?
Oh, God,
Wait. Alfred, you have an iPod?
I don't have an iPod.
Joe has an iPod?
But
I guess
I have
some.
An iPod. My brother-in-law, who's older than dirt, he's about 60.
Oh, now wait a minute, wait a minute. Older than dirt is not 60. Now, come on.
It is if it's my brother-in-law.
212-209-2950. We need your support. We really do.
You know, considering the nature of this show, Hank, the next thing you're going to do is tell me that Bill Gates is responsible for that iPod story.
No, no, but I'll tell you what Bill Gates is responsible for. There are a couple of stories. Number one is that I think it's called sword rattling. They're saying that the open office and the open source software is violating 235 of their patents. They didn't identify what programs. They didn't identify.
Let me get out of the way between you and Joe because I just don't want to get scorched.
Scorch? You mean you're going to be wait. We have to let the audience know that whereas Michael goes after Dell.
Is anybody on the phone?
We have Alfred, who is an apologist, right?
Is anybody on the phone line? Because
yes, we do. We have about three, four people
on
right now.
Because we should sell tickets to what's about to happen.
What's about to happen is I'm going to give
He hasn't even done all the setup yet.
I'm about to give my opinion. This is a non-story. This is just not a story. Would anybody really care if I stood up and opened my window and screamed out the window, Microsoft is doing such and such, but I didn't specify. Just such and such, S-U-C-H, such.
Yeah.
Nobody would care. Well, that's what Bill Gates did. He opened the window and screamed out, the open source movement is doing such and such. And people have said, well, what are they doing?
Joe, why didn't you tell the people what Linus Torvalds, how he responded?
Linus took the same position that a lot of people took, which is basically, if Microsoft would specify...
Tell me what programs
if
what patents are being violated, we'll fix it.
Then we would do one of two things, Torvalds said. We would fix it, we would change it, we would write around it so we're no longer violating a patent. Or what's more likely is we would go after you in court against those patents, because if we are really violating them, they're illegal patents. Bogus.
Right. By the way, you know, we talk about patents, and as you know...
Incidentally, before we go ahead with that, Hank, I do want to point out that Torvalds also said that basic operating system theory was pretty much finished by the end of the 1960s. IBM probably owns thousands of really fundamental patents. And
we're going to talk about one of them.
And if we're violating any of Microsoft's patents, it's only because they have a patent that already violates an IBM patent.
Well, one of the things that Microsoft said that's being violated is the GUI interface. And I said, have they forgotten who Xerox PARC is?
Not only Xerox PARC, but let's face it, Apple was there first.
No, Apple was not first. Apple was not first. Xerox PARC was first.
I'm saying Xerox PARC was first, but Apple was there stealing Xerox PARC before Microsoft started stealing it.
Let's just not get into Apple's long and honored
tradition. Wait a minute. Are you saying that some people can get away with murder? We won't go into that.
You won't go into that.
I don't want
to. By the way, talking about patent, if it were so cut and dried, Joe, that the Xerox part, took precedence as prior art, then these things wouldn't even come up. The problem is that these patents get defined in some terms so narrowly and in other ways so broadly that they really do have a grounds for defense. There's one out there that's going to amaze people. Turns out that cable companies that are putting HDTV over their digital cable service may be in violation of a handful of patents that are owned by a company down here in Philadelphia. And this company has quietly started suing Cox, Time Warner, Comcast.
Is it a valid patent, or is it going to be overturned?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
We're not lawyers.
There's a strong likelihood that they may be valid because they come out of AT&T and Lucent.
An interesting Supreme Court case about a week ago that narrowed this down. Now, it was very narrowly decided Supreme Court case.
If it's common sense, you can't patent it. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, but this isn't common sense. This is about the fundamental technology used in digital television broadcast.
Well, we're going to find out.
And sending it over cable. And
you know, so Alfred, one of the things that you've always heard me talking about for the past couple of years is the patent office is so wacky. It's like there's no rhyme, reason, there's no rules.
Well, the rule is you spend a lot of money, you get a patent, and that gives you a license to defend it.
No.
And find out whether or
we
not
we have
it's
something
valid.
Very different now. There is a company, Media Rights Technologies.
Yeah.
And they have a website called bluebeat.com,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And they got a patent on a technology called X1 Secure Recording Control.
Which is what?
And what they're saying is that for DMCA, it,
right.
In other words, you,
right. Oh, right. I heard about this.
You
this
can't break it. And you know what they, now, what is so unusual about this lawsuit? They're suing Apple and Microsoft $200 billion to say you must use it. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, this is
in reverse. Like, I'm suing you because you're not using it.
Right, because if you're not using our software, then you're not preventing people from violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And the Digital Millennium Copyright Act says you have to protect the stuff, and so therefore the only way to protect it is using our stuff, our software, our product, so you've got to use it.
Yeah,
it's a very clever.
Is it the only product that can prevent copying?
I don't know.
No, it's not the only product.
But
for this lawsuit to pertain, it would have to be.
Well, you know what?
First of all,
$200 billion is outrageous to begin with. Too.
Exactly. For a lousy $150, you can make a pledge to WBAI.
No, it's not. Wait, Joe.
209-295.
It's not a lousy $150. It would be $150 very gratefully received and accepted.
Well,
I'd say thank
lousy
you.
In comparison to $2 billion.
Well,
or 200
seriously,
billion.
Whatever money you can contribute, you know, even if it's a standard membership of $25 or $55 if you want to.
$25 is a full voting membership of WBAI. $55 is a membership plus, and you can ask what premiums are available. There
a
are
mug.
Things like coffee cups and T-shirts. And
by the way, when we say a mug, we mean a coffee mug, not someone to mug you.
Okay.
All right. And for $75, you have a choice of one of our three CDs. For $150, you get all three of them. And by the way, this is really good stuff. Michael, there was one item that you were saying, is the converter on? And I'm looking at you, and I shook my head, yes. And he says, oh, boy, let me talk about it.
I discovered the VMware Converter program. It's a free program from VMware about a month or so ago. I was very enthusiastic. And wouldn't you know, I actually needed it as opposed to just playing with it very shortly thereafter. The computer I use every day has been crashing with a blue screen on and off for a very long time. Eventually got to the point where it crashed so often I just couldn't use the machine anymore. So I used the VMware Converter to convert this real computer into a virtual image of itself. And then I wiped out Windows and reinstalled a fresh, clean copy of Windows. And now I have my clean copy of Windows, which is stable. And when I need something from my old version, I run a VMware server software, free software, and I run the virtual image of my old computer, which, by the way, now that it's a virtual image, never crashes. When it was a real computer, it was crashing a lot.
And that's on a virtual machine CD.
You know, all my
CD.
Software and all
wait,
my settings.
Wait a minute, folks. I've got to interrupt Michael and Hank. Just a minute. This is a wonderful disc and a wonderful program, but may I make a suggestion? If you're going to make a pledge for that virtual machine disc, also make a pledge for the gold card for tech support, because you're going to need it listening to these two geeks talk about it.
Nah, come on, we're not geeks.
Do we need to do a bottom of the hour thing, Stevie?
Well, you know what?
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also broadcast on the web at WBAI.org, also broadcast on the web at PCRadioshow.org.
Yeah, let me just say that normally at the break with a regular show, we make public service announcements and we make club announcements. And I just want to tell all those people who belong to computer clubs, we are your extension of the computer clubs that you belong to. We make announcements for you in many sense. We are your tech support. But for us to continue to be an ancillary part of your organization so that, I mean, let's face it, a computer club, the basic purpose is education in the use of a personal computer. We need your contribution. And Michael, we have a couple meetings coming up. Can you quickly go through them?
The Brookdale Computer User Group is going to be meeting on May 18th.
Wait, that's this Friday.
Okay.
And where is Brookdale?
It is, they meet at the Brookdale Community College in Lincroft, New Jersey.
Why don't they call it the Lincroft Computer Group?
Well, you know what? They can call themselves anything they like, okay?
Don't call them late for dinner.
Hey, by the way, Alfred, didn't you make a presentation?
Indeed. It's a lovely facility.
Yep.
And a terrific organization. Very enthusiastic and pleasant group of people. And as nice a, you know, I would go to hear something just to enjoy the company of everybody.
Alfred, did you meet Cass and Ruth when you were there?
The
Lewards.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, listen.
They had a lot of nice people.
It's a great organization. I remember many, many years ago when they started, they had like 5 members. We started making announcements for them. And periodically, they have made contribution as a club to
AI. They've made contributions, but how about members of Brookdale? Hey, listen, anybody out there from the Brookdale Computer Users Group? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put down the radio and walk over to the telephone and pick it up and dial 212-209-2950 and tell them, after you make your pledge, to run in here to the studio so that Hank can announce your pledge on the air.
And if you want to be anonymous, that's not a problem either.
Or use a phony name so you'll recognize it.
We should run a contest one of these days to see which user group can make the most contributions in an evening. Have a challenge going. Not tonight, but one of these nights. We should plan on doing that.
All right. Michael, do you have a couple others?
Well, to finish Brookdale, the subject on May 18th is going to be Windows Vista, and that presentation starts at 7 p.m. If you want more details, their website is BCUG, Brookdale Computer User Group, .com. Next up, we have the NYPC User Group. And their next general meeting is May 24th. They're going to have 2 subjects. First, that Sony is going to be on hand for a show and tell on their Sony Reader. This is a piece of hardware, roughly the size of a paperback book, said to be a little thinner and a little lighter. And it's been called the iPod for books. It's an e-book reader. Theoretically, you can go days and weeks even without recharging the batteries, and it, like any e-book reader, it can hold a whole bunch of books at the same time.
They tested this out a couple of years back, and we gave it a pretty bad review back then because it was not backlit, and so unless the room had very good ambient light, it was very difficult to read. I understand that they've now fixed that, and even people who have vision problems are able to comfortably use this.
It's hard to believe that Sony would put out a product with a bad display.
No, it isn't.
In addition to the Sony Reader, they're also on hand at the NYPC User Group is the National Association for the Visually Handicapped. They're going to be talking about their organization, and they will also be demonstrating software and hardware available for people with poor vision so that they can read normal books and newspapers and the like. This meeting, again, is May 24th. First presentation starts at 6:45 p.m. The meeting is at PS 41, Public School 41, on 11th Street, just off 6th Avenue in Manhattan. And if you want more information, their website is nypc.org. And finally, going out to June 9th and 10th, is the 4th Annual Vintage Computer Festival. Just perfect for us old-timers.
Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that the festival is an old-timer? Or the computers are old-timers?
The computers are. Apparently, the festival is only 4 years old. It's the 4th annual festival.
What do you mean by old-timers like us?
Well, now, wait a second. Last week, you were touting the fact that we had 750 years.
No. I don't exaggerate. I've only been in this field 48 years.
Well, if you like old computers, the Vintage Computer Festival, they aim to promote the preservation of obsolete computers by offering people a chance to experience these technologies and stories all about the computer revolution.
Hank, what was the first computer you ever used?
ANFSQ7, a modified vacuum tube 701 at 24 instructions per second.
Let's see a show of hands, please. Wow. Everybody who knows what a vacuum tube is, please raise your hand.
Virtual hand.
I saw it in a museum once.
Oh, come
I've
on.
Used them. I changed them.
At a computer museum, yeah.
Go!
Okay, thank
right.
you.
The Vintage Computer Festival, if you want more information, again, that's June 9th and 10th. Their website is vintage.org.
Right. The other announcement I want to make is that next week, we will be on in one of two forms. We may be on live, so please check our website, pcradioshow.org, or we will be doing a podcast. If we are doing a podcast, what we are requesting is that for those who are have interesting questions to ask, send us your question via email to pcradioshow.org with your name, your question, your phone number, because we may call you.
And put in the subject line, please, podcast question.
Right.
Those
so
two words.
This way, I don't have to read a book to find out what the question is, because some people, when they do have a question, it's unbelievable how much material I have to read to find out what the question is.
Now, can these questions be on any computer topic?
Any computer topic, okay.
Now,
but you only want interesting questions.
Let me just repeat that. Have your question as concisely as you can. Put in your phone, your full name and your phone number, and as the subject line, put in podcast question and send it to pcradioshow.org.
Okay.
Well, PC Radio at PCRadioshow.org.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Yes.
Okay. And if we're on live, the subject is going to be how to keep computing green. That will be our subject.
Oh, that's easy. You go out and buy a spray can. Krylon makes one, I checked. You have three color choices. They're all green.
You know, mm-hmm. I was joking, like, similar to that at the station about an hour ago, and the look I got, because I said, oh, you know how we, you know, a clean environment, you know, like the batteries, you know, like the laptop batteries, when no one's looking, you throw it away, right?
Not at all. I flush them.
No, seriously, the whole issue of how do you, you know, when we say green, green is more than energy usage. It's also how do you dispose of it properly, too. It's a big issue.
Somebody has estimated, and perhaps Alfred can do some research for us, that a significant percentage of the heavy metals in ordinary waste dumps comes from computers and other electronics. So this is a very serious problem, yeah. Not for you, not for me, not perhaps even for our children, but for our grandchildren and thereafter.
So we will either be on the air live, which is what management is considering, next week at 8 o'clock to talk about keeping the environment green, or we'll do a podcast, and we'll be using questions that and talking about subjects that the listeners...
Now, let me make it clear again. In that email that you send your question, do put your phone number, because we will be calling you in advance on the telephone and then getting you on the air.
Wherever possible. Okay.
I've got an announcement to make. Can I make an announcement?
Sure.
Alfred and I were batting around.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you were going to say 212-209-2950.
How many people are calling in right now?
None.
Oh, well, then I can't make my announcement, which is a very important one. So somebody's got to call.
Well,
212-209-2950.
We have three CDs.
Three CDs.
$75 for one or $150 for all three.
Alfred has a great tip, and it's absolutely free, but it's going to cost one phone call or more. So,
what was that number again? I didn't catch it the first
212-209-2950.
Oh, one more time. I'm going to write it down now.
Okay, you got your pencil?
No, but you're
now
not
on my
to
phone, you
that.
Start with the number one, then you dial 212. Then you go to a 209. Now, zero, some people call that O.
No. Let's not get into that. Just say zero.
To 209-2950. Okay.
Okay, we have a couple callers. But, Joe, if anyone's listening on a podcast and it's now Saturday afternoon, can they still call or pledge? Or
They can pledge by going over to... actually, the best way to pledge would be to go to WBAI.org, and on the homepage up near the top, it says Support WBAI, and you click on that, and you can support it. But if you want to get one of the premiums that we're talking about tonight, then the best way is to do it next week when we're on the air, if you don't hear about this until then.
Well, the thing is, really, if you... can make the pledge this week, make it this week, because we don't know if for sure we're going to be on the air next
week. Right.
If
we're doing a podcast next week, we're not going to be real. Then tonight's the last chance you have to get these. Okay. Alfred and I were talking about all of these things that we're talking about with Microsoft threatening that there's 260 odd violations of their patents in the Linux operating system.
235.
And which is a come down. They used to say it was 280 something.
267.
Okay. You got anything else?
When they get to 225, sell.
Right.
No, actually, Balmer said 267. And Gates says it's 235.
Right. Well, Obama took that figure by he misread a report that somebody else had done, some students had done, but that's understandable.
By the way,
what is an operating system?
Wait, first of all, what is Linux? First of all, we want to thank a caller that just called. Thank you very much for calling. Go ahead.
Okay. What is an operating system? What is Linux? I said to Alfred, who knows what all these geeky conversations are about? When did we start going so high tech? And he came back at me with an excellent, I think it's about an hour and 15-minute video that's available on Google, which talks about and explains what this open software, open source software, free
very
software.
Very good. It's, by the way, it's a very good video.
And
but it is not entirely balanced. I mean, it's large.
It's
I mean,
about
it is, from, it is from the open source proponent
it's about as balanced as Eric Raymond knows how to make it.
Hey, you know what? For zero dollars, you mean that's not balanced?
No. I'm just saying that understand that it was.
It's not trying
open source in a favorable light.
It's not trying to be objective, but it is explaining
it. It does a good job of explaining.
And what we did was Alfred sent me a 76 character, literally 76 character URL.
Yeah, I had to decipher that to get to it.
And so what I did is we translated that using a wonderful, wonderful website called tinyurl.com, which we use a lot.
212-209-2950.
Get your pencils out, because I'll have Michael put this up on the website, if you would, Michael. But for those of you who want to listen to it tonight, go to tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/, and here's the code, 32KSMH. That's 32KSMH. Tiny URL.
That's King Stevie Mary Henry.
Kilo Sierra.
Listen, we'll have that on the website for you. But it's 212-209.
Come on, I was counting on you, Alfred. You remember the mnemonics?
I do, but I forgot the last letter now. What?
M. Michael.
You know,
Mike, hotel. But there was something after. What was it?
Hotel.
By the way, Joe, you want to hear the. You say you want to keep this balance? Bill Gates says that in 90 days, they sold 40 million copies of Windows Vista.
Yeah, but which 90 days was it?
Wow.
Yes, and who did they sell them to?
Well, now, first of all...
Do you know one of the most important sayings in Nashville about the recording industry? He ships platinum, but he returned gold.
No, actually, what happened?
So,
by the way...
Because you put them on the shelf, sold.
Of the 40 million... 20 million were pre-sold before the announcement, and
then they definitely went to the
certificates. Some may have been, you know.
Oh, what Hank meant by pre-sold, he meant that people who bought XP systems in
had a certificate
October, November, December.
That is considered a Vista sold.
Yeah, and
even though the machine had
smart,
XP on,
they won't put it on.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other half, a part of that went to the channels. Part of that, people really did use it. In other words, it's not really 40 million. It's a lot less than 40 million.
But if you do, you know, aside from the Microsoft bashing, and you know that I enjoy that as much as the next guy, but aside from that, if you take a look and do an analysis of the second quarter of the year, with all of that, forget the 40 million figure, Microsoft normally has a very slow second quarter, and this year their second quarter was much better than recent history. So that's significant.
I would have to look at the
numbers. I'm not saying that they sold 20 million or 40 million or 60 million. I'm just saying that compared to the last two or three years, their second quarter was much better. You have to attribute that betterness to Vista.
Sony PlayStation 3 tanking so badly.
Yes, well.
And there's also a new release of Office.
Excuse me, I don't like Microsoft. I don't like Bill Gates, but I'm damned if I'm going to blame them for Sony PlayStation tanking.
No. I'm just saying that when the PlayStation 3 wasn't available, what did people do? They went out and bought Wii's and they bought Xbox.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to ask each of us, including myself, a question so that the listeners at least know where we stand. Alfred, do you own Microsoft stock?
If I do, I don't know it.
Okay. Joe?
Yes.
I own Microsoft stock. Michael?
No.
Stevie?
Michael, do you own anything?
So in other words, Joe...
I own the shirt on my back.
So I've been very critical of Microsoft, but being a stockholder doesn't prevent me from saying...
I understand the stock performance has been miserable for like the last 3 years.
3 years? How about a lot more than 3 years?
Ever since I bought it.
You know what?
I'll give you all this piece of advice. If one day you're out having dinner or a drink with Hank, and he mentions in passing that some particular high-tech stock is really very good and very interesting, and for various reasons it's going to do, the company is going to do well, short it.
No, listen.
On his advice, I did Microsoft, I did Novell. I mean, come on.
Listen, there is a rule that everyone knows here, okay? If Joe sells a stock, go buy it.
No. It doesn't apply to stocks. But if Joe buys a piece of hardware, wait 2 weeks and then buy it at half price.
Hey, Joe, you know, there was an announcement that came out that you and I were bantering about and say, what do you make of it? And it has to do with Amazon. Amazon bought out DPReview.com.
Now, I know... We have to tell people what
DP Review is. It's a great site.
It's a wonderful site that's based in the UK, in England, and it gives really objective third-party reviews.
Truly objective,
of digital photography equipment. Not just cameras, but all digital photography equipment. And it gives excellent, it gives you the specs. If you want to make any purchase I've made, that's the first place I've gone to check it out, because I get all of the specs. I get all of, not only the specs as numbers, but I get descriptions, samples, pictures. Wonderful site. Now, skip over to Amazon. Wonderful site. I've bought books from them. I've bought toothbrushes from them. They've been very reliable, very good. Wonderful site. Now Hank tells me that Amazon, which sells cameras, among other things, is buying DP Review.
Why?
Why? I finally figured it out.
You did?
Yep.
What is it?
DP Review.
Wait, Joe, can you hold it for a minute?
Yeah.
212-209-2950. Okay, now you can see. I just see a light go on. Go ahead.
DP Review gets 25 million hits a month.
Wow.
Big. Much bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Guy reads a review, says, I want to buy that camera. Mm-hmm. Now he leaves DP Review, and he goes and to Google.
No. In DP Review, they tell you who sells it, because that's what their business model is.
But now he leaves DP Review and goes to Google to check the prices.
Oh, the best prices, you mean.
And he buys it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is saying... But why should he leave? Why can't we do that all here? First of all, we, Amazon, represent other people besides Amazon. Why don't we just get all the benefit of the review, the sale, and everything? You know, one of the big things, Michael, you know that people talking about websites talk about stickiness.
Yes, I heard the term.
They want people to stick to their site. They don't just want an eyeball that's wandering by. They want people to stay within the site.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this question. Also, this past week, IBM brought a lawsuit against Amazon, and Amazon capitulated. Basically, what IBM says is that when it comes to selling online, they have a patent on it. And Amazon is now going to basically pay some royalty to IBM. I wonder how this purchase of DP Review will be affected by saying, gee, you're tying a review with it? Maybe IBM also has another patent on that.
Well, a lot of these patents, you know, IBM has one of the broadest portfolio of intellectual property patents in the world. And a lot of these patents are good, and a lot of these patents are not good. A lot of these patents have already been challenged and lost, and some of them have not been challenged.
You know what hasn't been challenged yet?
I think we're going to be seeing a lot more challenges.
Joe, you know what hasn't been challenged yet? One click.
It has been challenged, Hank.
It has?
But not under the new ruling.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't see that one click being challenged all the way to the Supreme Court.
That I don't know, but it was challenged. I forget by who they brought it. I think it was Barnes & Noble they brought it against.
Wow. Now, I have a challenge for the listeners out there. Our challenge is we need your support now. We can't wait any longer. We only have a few minutes left. And we mean everyone here on the Personal Computer Show. We enjoy being here every Wednesday night. We enjoy doing the banter. We enjoy doing the research. We enjoy, you know, actually, the research we do, it keeps our mind going. We enjoy it, but, you know, the station needs the money, and if the fundraising isn't there, that's how they measure the success of a show. If you can't raise the money, we'll find someone else to take over the airtime.
And every nickel pledge goes to the station. We don't get a dime. In fact, Hank especially, incurs the cost of making the CDs.
We don't only not get any remuneration, but we really, all of us, kick in much more. Folks, you don't have to make $150 or a $300 pledge. I'd love it if you would. You don't have to make a $75 or a $55 pledge. I would really like it if you could do that. You can make a $25 pledge and still be a full member of the station and vote every year in the elections. But we don't even need to require you to do that. I'd like you to do what several people did last week. It really made me feel very warm about them. They didn't have a lot of money.
Yep.
They called in and pledged $5, and we were very grateful for that. And we'll be grateful for any pledge you can make.
We are your advocates on the consumer side when it comes to computing. And it doesn't matter what I may have invested in, doesn't matter, you know, who the company is. We've been critical of companies. I've been very critical of companies that I even have a vested interest in. I even had that same company try to get me fired. Remember, Joe?
Yep.
And you know what? It doesn't matter. Our focus is you, the listener. We want to support you. We want you to get the straight scoop. We want you to be able to make intelligent decisions, intelligent, informed decisions. And the only way we're going to do it is we need your support to continue to be on the air.
Hank, right now it's 8:58 p.m. In a minute or so, you're going
to... We have to leave in about 30, 40 seconds.
And when you leave, you're going to go back to that tally room where all the telephones are ringing. You know that people are going to want to talk to you. So if they call right now, call in, make a pledge, but say you have a question for Hank, he'll answer it. You've got a question for Michael, he'll answer it. They're both going to go back to the tally room right now.
212-209-2950.
You know,
I said it so often.
No, you don't understand, Michael. Joe Wood, I had brain lock about 35th Street.
Doy.
Uh-huh.
I almost said 279.
I was thinking 279.
212-209-2950. In this last 10 seconds, we thank everyone who's made a contribution. We thank those who have made a contribution last week. Make good your pledge. Keep those phone ringing. And next week, we may be on. Check our website. And
Website is pcradioshow.org. Right on the front page, it'll tell you what we know.
We will definitely be on. We may or may not be live.
Right. So just a very simple back up, pledge.
And write your questions. The subject line should be podcast and podcast question, and include your phone number and name so we can contact you.
And on behalf of everyone, thank you.
And that concludes the Personal Computer Show here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM.